Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, it is the final episode of the Iron Fist After Show. Probably, maybe, we'll see, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk only about episode 10, A Duel of Iron, and that WTF finale, as we've been calling it. So, let's get ready. The Iron Fist After Show starts now!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ah, yes. Just a beautiful Monday, even though it's Sunday night. But for our viewers on the East Coast, it is indeed Monday. Welcome to the Iron Fist After Show. Possibly our finale, talking about season two, but maybe we will squeeze out one more. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. I'm Christian Butt, joined as always, every episode of this show. I've been joined by the one and only
Zia. Hello,
Zia
everybody.
Landerson.
I know. I should go by my full name.
Yeah, Zia Landerson. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Emmanuel Wright is back.
Emmanuel Wright, hey, how's it going?
Is he still Team Davos? We'll find out in a little bit. We'll see where that goes. Let's explain why the Mamas and the Papas are playing, because if you watch closely, in the moment where Mary has Davos in her sights and she's planning to kill him, she's waiting to kill him. She's singing this to herself. Now, one, that's a moment from the comic books. Two, and again, this comes from my sort of Easter egg website, denofgeek.com. They pointed out that there's four-part harmony, and so she's singing it. Does Mary maybe have four personalities and they're all singing along in her head? I think that's a fun little, just a fun little question to ask. So I went right for that as the song. Anyway, we will talk a little bit about this episode and then we'll talk about the season as a whole. We're going to spend a lot of time in the finale because there's a lot to digest. But let's start, Zia, the end of episode 9. It ends in that moment with the big transfer between Davos and Colleen. It doesn't quite go through, but Colleen's got the white fist. And did you immediately start episode 10, or was it just like, I gotta decompress from all this?
No, I immediately started episode 10.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't stop after that.
Yeah, so I didn't have a lot of time to really think about what had come before because I just went right in. You know, Emmanuel, what about you?
Right in. I had to see what was going to go down. I was like, wait, Danny's not the Iron Fist anymore. It's Colleen. So I was like, I got to see this fight go down.
Yeah. Now, we didn't talk to you when we covered episodes 7, 8, and 9. When last we left you, you were hardcore Team Davos.
Yeah.
You really felt like he had the best interest in New York.
Hardcore.
Now, he might have veered a little from the path.
He did.
Not so straight and narrow.
He's just killing people now. Yeah. That's what he's
and
about.
And that's why we compared him to Killmonger in Black Panther and Bushmaster in Luke Cage.
Okay.
They both start on a path. You're right. Hard to disagree with these points. Okay, getting a little harder to agree. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, now you're just killing
now
people.
Just killing
you
people.
You can't kill everybody. And the moment when Davos is like, oh, I need to have a better PR person. Joy, you're right. And then he immediately goes and kills
Mr. Yip, right?
Yeah. And then you're just like, well, that's not going to help. You know, imagine if TMZ saw that. That wasn't going to help, right?
And so, he doesn't look like a killer. I don't know. Like, after watching it, he's not that intimidating. His size isn't that big. He's just like one guy walking around town killing people.
It seemed
people.
Like he made some killer dumplings, you know, but he's not like a stone cold killer.
Yeah.
So at this point, you have to be, well, you don't have to be. You can do you. But are you on the Davos train through episodes 7, 8, and 9, or has he lost you by the time that Colleen gets
I
some
still
Iron Fist?
Prefer him as Iron Fist than
Danny.
Than Danny.
Okay.
He's still winning that
Even
fight.
Though he's just killing.
He's still okay. A little bit more interesting. He's
I get that.
You know what I mean? He's not like Danny. What dragon did Danny kill, man? This must have been like a dragon with no teeth and like pigeon toes or pigeon feet. Like, who is this dragon that Danny?
To be fair, it was a retired dragon.
He was a retired dragon.
He only does like part-time dragon work, you know, and he lives in a retired dragon community in Florida. I believe it's called the Dragon Villages. And, you know, so Danny just, you know, he kind of got him when he was winded.
I want to see this fight. They won't show this fight because I want to see this fight. Well, I feel like he pulled some type of trick on the dragon. It wasn't like a fair fight. I don't know, because whenever I see Danny, he just looks like a emotional poodle.
Well,
I mean,
here's the thing about the fight with the dragon emotions. And showrunner M. Raven Metzner, who we'll talk about in a little bit, he has said that we'd love to show you the fight with the dragon. We can't afford the fight with the dragon. You know, it's just, and I was just like, all right, well, maybe some kind of animation, comic book tie-in. You know, there's a lot of things they could do where we could see the fight. You know, and it's like, you know, official sanctioned, like this comic book is right here in the continuity, something like that. I would love to see the fight with the dragon. The fact that, you know, all we ever saw in the Defenders was dragon bones, that kind of told you, like, all right, that's
you're not seeing the dragon.
But what we do see is Colleen, as the episode starts, so the ritual, it stops in the middle. And Davos is the Iron Fist. Colleen is the Iron Fist. And it's actually killing both of them to have a little Iron Fist. And I'm so excited that it starts that way, because then they're fighting. And there is the moment where they bump fists.
Yeah.
And, that has exactly the effect that I want. Talk a little bit about that sort of opening sequence when they both still have the Iron Fist, Zia. Just your thoughts as you watched it and how you felt it played out.
I liked it because it made the fight a lot more interesting
mm-hmm.
and a lot more fun. Just because Colleen against the Iron Fist, not that she couldn't compete martial arts wise, and I think if they both didn't have it, it would be different. But I love that they both had that power and they're both fighting so hard for it. It also made the stakes so much higher and it made you so much more invested. And I liked that. Because I was like, oh, who's going to get it? Who's going to get it? And I also kept thinking that Danny would somehow come in and get it.
Right. And we talked about the – actually, I think we might have talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly when we looked at the whole season. But I was convinced the whole time Danny's not going mm-hmm. – not that he's not going to let Colleen have it. He's just going to need to take it for some reason. And so this episode starts. You're like, all right, it's killing her. Okay. Danny's going to be like, you know what? I have to save you. I have to get it. I'll take it from Davos. And then when that doesn't happen, I'm like, oh, they didn't go that way, you mm-hmm. know? And so the whole time I'm expecting Danny to get it back. Now, Emmanuel, you didn't want Danny to get it back.
No.
Did you expect it to happen? Did you think, like,
I didn't think he was going to get it back. I think the writers are like, you know what? People don't really like this Danny character. They wanted an Asian Iron Fist, first of all. She's already like a fan favorite. Let's just the Asian fan favorite the Iron Fist. I mean, you know, women like that. It's empowering women. She has a sword, so you got to see the sword light up, which was cool.
We will talk about that. You know? Yeah, for sure.
So I think the writers were just like, let's just have her be the Iron Fist. And, I was okay with that.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that people – it's like a handful, but there's always like a loud vocal minority. They're like, but that never happened in the comics. And to which I always say, like, well, that's cool because that's different.
Right.
You don't have to, like, you can take great ideas from the comics. And there's a lot of stuff that we'll talk about from the finale that is directly from the comics. But the idea that Colleen's the Iron Fist is like, well, so what that that's never happened? That's just a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we talk about the last part of the finale, it seems like everything's going to work out all right for everybody, except for maybe Davos. But, you know, Davos is still breathing. So there's a lot to look forward to. And by the way, Zia has an eye on the chat, and she will let us know what you are saying. So if you're watching live, please leave some comments. And if not, please go ahead and leave comments in the archived version on YouTube, and we will talk about that.
Black Magic does have a good point. Black Magic, right? Am I being that right? Yes. Black Magic 99. They actually didn't hit each other's fists. It looked like they got extremely close, and then were repelled like magnets.
Absolutely right. They didn't
couldn't hit.
Yeah, they couldn't even actually touch each other.
Too much power.
Too much power.
Too much mana.
Yeah. Now, Emmanuel, how happy would you have been if Danny's head had been between two fists with all that power?
Oh, he's just not needed. I like the fact that they said, all right, you're a sub character. Go handle Mary with Misty. Yeah. Like, go worry about that. And he lost that fight.
So if there's a season 3, it'll be called Iron Fists. and maybe focus more, yeah, more on Colin.
The Iron Fist is more like the Iron Flu, man. Everybody's catching it this season. Hey, who's next? Misty gonna get the Iron Fist? Is she gonna come back with a new robot hand?
So that would be cool if she gets Iron Fist on the other hand and the other one's a bionic hand. Then look out for her.
I want to see Mary be the Iron Fist. That would be interesting. Whoa. If you just made that.
That would be terrifying.
That would be so cool.
But some of those personalities wouldn't know she had it. You know, okay. So that would
can
help.
Be an added thing.
But what if the only one who has it is like Bloody Mary? So like the crazy homicidal maniac is like, oh, now I'm more powerful. Well, let's talk a little bit about Walker, because Walker is very determined to kill Davos throughout the course of especially the beginning of the episode, but really, you know, the last few episodes. And Danny is, of course, afraid that if somehow killing Davos also will kill Colleen because she doesn't quite have the power yet. So they work really hard to bring back Mary, which it's like, poor Mary, you know? It's always like, you know, she always ends up in these terrible situations. So she's like, what happened? Go ahead.
I was going to say, she just wants to kill Davos.
Yeah. And then and then Mary comes in and well, Davos blocks her, you know? And so, I don't know. I think that... it's interesting because of the little bits that we see of Walker and Mary in this. Like, you can just see how focused she is on it. But you get where Danny and Misty and everyone are coming from.
I had a question. So the third version of Mary is called Bloody Mary?
Yeah, that's one we haven't met in the show.
But she talks about
it. They allude to it. Right. And there's also the idea that there might be more than three. You're aware of the one called Bloody Mary from the comic books. So that's how we know that that's what she's called. And that's like... the super crazy one who would have killed all the people in Sokovia. I blanked on the Easter egg that I loved, and I'm like, wait, what's the name of that Eastern European country from Civil War and Age of Ultron? So anyway, so yeah, from that scene from Sokovia, because that's not Walker and that's not Mary, so it's somebody else. That's Bloody Mary. And then there might be somebody else who, is it more like Mary? Or is it like past Bloody Mary? So that's why this is such a fascinating character. And I don't believe we're going to see her in Daredevil season 3. But because she is a Daredevil character, I would like to be able to see her in multiple series. And look, I very much, as we talk about this in the next half hour or so, very much want there to be another season of Iron Fist, because I just want to see where they go with these great ideas at the end. If for some reason there isn't, I really would hope that we would see Mary in Daredevil.
Please.
You know, because it'd be such a waste to introduce her and then we don't get her again, you know. I mean, you know, she could turn up in The Punisher. She'd turn up in everywhere, you know, all the shows. So I'd be all right with that. Anyway, so the fight between Colleen and Davos is pretty great, you know. I think that that's really a high point in the series up until the crazy ending. But like this, it's just so cool. It's like all the things that you really want to see. And then, you know, Colleen actually becomes the Iron Fist, defeats Davos. And I did feel a little bad for him. Emmanuel, as somebody who had been Team Davos so hardcore up until a point, when he loses the Iron Fist, he kind of like loses his purpose. Danny seemed to be okay without being the Iron Fist. But Davos, it was like, no, no, this was my birthright. Danny took it from me. And then I took it from him. And now this girl from the hand takes it from me. So he's in a pretty bad place. Wouldn't you sympathize with that?
No, he could always get it back. I mean, there's more Iron Fist. There's not one dead Iron Fist. He could go find another dead Iron Fist and get a tattoo.
Yeah. Well, and then it also, as we'll talk about, there aren't necessarily people who aren't dead who were Iron Fists. So there might be little bits of power that are remaining for people who have held it before. And who knows? Maybe, just maybe, Davos might be able to find it within himself that he's still got a little of it. But these are all things to really explore. So let's tidy up. There's a lot of loose ends throughout the course of the season, and I think this episode does a really good job with that. That's obviously what so much of the season had been building towards, this moment where Colleen ends up with the Iron Fist. And even still at this point, Zia, still expected Danny to get it back at some point. It's like, it seems like, okay, everything's done, all right, move along, nothing to see here. I'm like, yeah, but Danny's going to get the Iron Fist somehow for some reason.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought for episode 9 and 10, yeah. Through the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and even when, well, we'll talk a little bit about the thing we see from a few months later. I was still like, well, you know, Danny's going to get back. But anyway, Joy and Ward come as close to having some kind of reconciliation. And we've talked a lot about the growth of Ward and how he became such a more sympathetic character in this season. Joy did not become a sympathetic character, but the last few episodes of the season, you start to go like, all right, she's trying to make amends for her bad behavior. She's trying to make things better. And part of that is like, all right, I'm mad at my brother, but I guess we should talk. Zia, give us your thoughts about how sort of their combined arc played out for Ward and Joy.
Most of it was me just being really annoyed at Joy.
Sure.
Because I understand her being upset. I really, really do. That's a really hard thing to go through, losing your dad a second time. However, he was a homicidal maniac, and your brother was using a very, very good reason for keeping him from her. And I feel like she should have at least been able to look past all of that. And I understand her maybe wanting to spend some time on her own, fine. But this whole revenge plot that she came up with was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and we had the indications that she felt bad about it before it happened, while it was going on, and after the fact. It's like, so it's at no point did you want to pull the plug on this.
Seriously. And as for her and Ward, Ward tried harder in this season than he did. No, and the other thing, too, that he's been there for his sister no matter what, always.
Yes.
Always. No matter how bad of a guy you thought he was always there for his sister in the first season. And he's grown so much in the second season. The fact that she couldn't see that was infuriating.
What did you think, Emmanuel, about the way that their story basically went throughout the course of the whole season?
I don't think it's Joy's fault, actually. I mean, I think the writers needed, like, another villain to, like, kind of play off of Davos. So they were like, okay, Joy's going to be it. But I think it was kind of forced to make, like, Joy the bad guy in this season. So I think that's just, like, the role she had to play. So I don't really blame it on Joy. I really don't.
Right. What did you think about the growth of Ward, you know, throughout the season, but also compared to last year, just sort of Ward on his own, which we'll
Ward on his own. I like the honesty. Like how Ward was he just tried to be honest with himself, everybody he came into contact with. Like, he's really trying to grow as a person. He gets the snot kicked out of him in, like, a lot of scenes, but just keeps moving.
Especially in that bar scene where he literally gets the snot kicked out of him. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm still going to be a better person. I'm going to still, like, go with you, Danny, on this journey, you know, at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So props to Ward for just, like, fighting on. And, you know.
And there is that moment where Bethany's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm pregnant. I'm definitely having your baby, but I don't want you anywhere near it until you're ready. And I think that that's obviously from every indication she has of him up until, you know, basically all their interactions is this guy's not ready to be anything remotely approaching a father. So I think that I can imagine that that's difficult for him to hear. But he seems to at least understand that, you know, that's where she's coming from. And I don't know, I feel like season one Ward would have told her about how, you know, I'll see you in court and he'd spend all this money trying to, you know, get custody or whatever. And he's just like, yeah, you're right. I got to be a better person. I don't know. What do you think, Emmanuel? I think is that the perfect example of where we've seen him go from season one to two?
Perfect example. Yeah. Ward is now owning up to his mistakes and he's trying to fix them himself the right way.
Right. Because he feels like, well, my awful father passed along such terrible behavior to both my sister and I. Let me maybe stay away from this baby until I can be a positive influence. You feel like that's where he's at, Zia?
Yeah, absolutely. And good for him. The only problem I have, and it's not, and I understand 100% where she's coming from and why she would say that. And yes, he would have to do some work to prove himself ready. Totally get it. But it's just kind of a bummer because that's not necessarily what he needs right now. He's a mess, and he doesn't need more people sort of walking away from him, even though it's completely justifiable and I completely understand it. I feel like he maybe need a little more support there.
Yeah. No, I think that obviously Bethany, with her own addiction problems to deal with, is just like, I can't be around this kind of behavior. I can't have this kind of destructive force in my life. Let's touch base. You know, maybe I'll text you a picture from, you know, maybe his first birthday party. We'll see where it goes. So that's why when Ward finds Danny, you know, taking the plane on his little magical mystery tour, I just love that moment where Danny's like, well, come with me.
Right.
You know, it's like, what are you sticking around for?
Yeah, yeah. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, I felt like that was a great moment, again, for Ward, because he's like, Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Cool.
So I was excited. And, you know, in that moment, you're like, oh, man, we're going to see them up to some crazy stuff next season, aren't we? But what we actually get a few minutes after that is we see what they're up to. And we learn a little bit about where Danny's going before the little time jump. So he looks at that box that was the heirloom from Colleen's family. And he notices on the other side of the seal is the Iron Fist logo. Symbol. And so Danny goes with Ward to find for answers for the dead Iron Fist, because his letter to Colleen explains her story, her mother's story about the pirate queen in Kunlun discovering the Iron Fist symbol in the box. It made him realize Colleen might very well be descended from the first woman to defeat Shao Lao to become the Iron Fist. So it could all just be sort of a weird, you know, confluence of events. That Danny was supposed to ultimately give the Iron Fist to Colleen because she's supposed to have it. So I think that that's sort of an interesting realization that this, you know, this pirate story that we sort of hear in passing, I think in episode 9, might have been episode 8. Either way, we just hear it and then we're like, okay, so whatever. And then it actually turns out to be something really important, which I think is very interesting. The pirate queen of Pinghai Bay, Wu Ao Shi. This is a story told in Immortal Iron Fist number 7. And you can read all about it there and find out who she was. And obviously, this is the comic book continuity, so not necessarily someone who is a descendant or Colleen Wing's a descendant of. But what do you think about this idea, Zia, that you know, Colleen might have an ancestor, grandmother, great-grandmother, something that is actually the first woman to defeat the dragon for the Iron Fist?
It's a cool way to tie Colleen into having the fist. I think it's a neat way to do it. Although, if you're really looking at it that way, technically Davos was supposed, it was his birthright, but Danny ended up getting it anyway. So I put maybe a little less stock into birthright, perhaps. Although I still think it's cool history. And I want to see how the Iron Fist and, you know, her and how they're connected somehow.
Right. Although, I don't know what you think, Emmanuel, but do you think that Davos just was told it was his birthright and just his parents were like, yeah, you should be the Iron Fist? But maybe it wasn't really, other than his parents were just like, okay, yeah, you're our kid, you should be the Iron Fist, you know?
And yeah, I think his mom was, you know, yeah, like, this is yours, go take it, you know, because his mom was really serious like that. But I think on the whole Colleen tip, the fact that, you know, she had like an ancestor who was able to use the Iron Fist, I think it made more sense to like how she was able to just fight so well with the Iron Fist when she got it,
yeah,
like right away. So I think that was just like a nice tie-in.
Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously because of Colleen's skills, yes, but, you know, obviously just having the Iron Fist, you have to really train for how to use it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's very impressive the way we see it. One final thread to pull on before we do the time jump. Walker is very focused on finding out about this third, more violent altar that we've referenced, the Bloody Mary. And as I said, it'd be a crime if we don't get to see more of her, but hopefully we do. All right. So then the episode's winding down, and then you think like, well, it looks like there's a little time left. Maybe the credits are long. And then it's like months later, you're like, okay. And there's a great moment where we see Colleen as the Iron Fist, and oh my God, she's using the Iron Fist and channeling through the sword. Zia, what did you think as soon as you saw that?
So cool. I can't remember if I said it. It has to have been on Marvel TV Weekly.
Because we did all the spoilers last week on Marvel TV Weekly. Yeah.
I can't wait to see her chop some heads with that.
Right. Yeah, you're going right to heads. And
that's
so
cool.
If there's anything that we know Colleen's capable of doing, it's cutting off a dude's head. Now, she's only done it once. But, you know, they say the first head you cut off is the hardest one.
It's the hardest, yeah.
Emmanuel, what did you think that moment when you see Colleen sort of channeling the Iron Fist through her sword?
Now, that's a real hero right there. That is what a hero looks like. Do you see that pose? Do you see the back, like the posture of the hero and the standoff?
Steve in the booth, I think that's the video we have, or at the very least it's a still. I can't quite tell what it was there, but we'll see some of it, I think. So this is actually just sort of seeing. Yeah, we'll let it play, and you'll see some footage of Colleen. So anyway, it's an incredibly interesting turn of events, the whole thing. And yes, me personally, I was very excited. And as I've stated before, because it didn't happen in the comics, did not expect it, didn't expect her to get it in the first place, didn't expect her to keep it, did not expect to see a little future time jump where she's channeling it through her sword. So lots of exciting stuff there. And that's another moment where you're like, oh, wow, what a cool ending. I wonder what's going to happen with Danny. Are we not going to see Danny anymore? Oh, don't worry. And I really like this next scene. There's the crazy ending, but I just sort of like the way that Danny's way off in the back and he's letting Ward sort of try and make all the deals because, you know, look, Ward's a businessman. Yeah, as you're watching that scene unfold, Emmanuel, tell us what you think as you're watching Ward clearly in over his head.
I like the dialogue. I like where Ward was at. Like it almost seemed like Ward knew he wasn't getting through. He's like, I wouldn't have to just call in Danny. Yeah. So finally, when he does call in Danny, I like immediately smiled and was like, all right, yeah, it's about time. He's like, okay, you can move on, Ward. So very cool scene. Very good acting on Ward's part. You know, just, you know, acting like, please, just don't do anything to me. Please, let me just get this info. It's not working. Danny, go handle him. So I was a fan.
Yeah, it's sort of a great moment. And he asks about a man named Orson Randall, who, as established in the comic books, is a previous Iron Fist. And one of the things that we have mentioned on this show, I believe, is that in the comic books, Danny is the 66th person to be the Iron Fist. And I think that there's no reason to assume that that's the number in the TV series. Could be lower. Could be much higher. You never know. But the idea is that this is a character from the comic book, someone who had it, I believe, around World War I is where Orson Randall's timeline is, you know. And if you're going for real time, Danny got it in the 70s. So, you know, I think that there was somebody in between them. But anyway, so it's a very cool sort of reveal for those of us who get very excited about these sort of things and who like the Easter eggs. And one of the things that we knew about Orson Randall from the comics is that he could channel his chi into a pair of guns. Well, that's interesting because there's a reference in the conversation Ward's having about a shipment that was stolen in Hong Kong. And lo and behold, Danny steps in, and then there is the image that we have. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can see this moment where Danny is channeling not one, but two fists of the Iron Fist through his guns, and he shoots bullets that merge into a super Iron Fist bullet. And I was like, well, I didn't see any of this coming.
Nope.
And I'm watching this at like midnight. I think it was the Saturday, the Sunday. So it's like 2 days after the show launched or dropped on Netflix. And I'm just like, well, I can't talk to anybody about this. Because we did Marvel TV Weekly the next day. We only talked about the first four. We hadn't even started doing the show yet. And it took forever. It only took like a week. But it felt like forever. I was like, I literally can't talk to anyone about this. So, Z, I'll ask you first. You see that and it ends. What do you think? What do you do?
Okay, first, super, super happy that they threw that in there.
Yes.
Because I wasn't expecting it either. I'm really glad they gave us that piece. I love Danny and Ward working together. And them showing us that, I was like, oh, yes. Because it makes you really, really, really want a season 3.
Right.
I want to see more of that.
Right. And I think that, you know, look, there were a lot of people that were grumbling after season 1. And there was an exact tweet that I read was, oh, wow, Iron Fist Season 2 is premiering today. I'm excited, said no one ever. And I'm like, well, I said that. I was excited. And, you know, and then so the idea of Season 3, I don't know. What do you think, Emmanuel? Do you think that they did a job where you're like, well, now I need to see what happens?
Well, first thought I had when I saw Danny with the guns is like, oh, okay, so Danny's tired of getting beat up, so he went to go get him some guns, which is a good move. I'm not out. Bravo, Danny, you got some guns. Like, yeah, forget the training, forget the kicks, forget the punches, get guns. Good move. But no, the double wielded guns, I like it. I'm a fan of that. When I play Call of Duty, I like to do double guns.
Nice.
So I was thinking Call of Duty.
If only you could channel the Iron Fist through your double guns.
That would be cool.
There'd be nobody left.
Hey, devs out there.
Yeah.
Some mods, come on.
And I also think, like, when I saw that scene, I don't think he got the Iron Fist in that scene. I think he got, like, some special guns that allowed him.
I was gonna bring that up. There are a couple interpretations of that scene, and this is the beauty of it. You don't know for sure. Is he wearing a belt that that, well, and by belt, you know, it's got the holsters and the guns. Like, does this combination simulate the Iron Fist? And looking at it again, just for myself, I do feel like his fists are channeling the power. Now, maybe they're not, but that's the way I interpreted it. But there were plenty of people that saw it the way Emmanuel did, where it's like, yeah, he's got something that it's got some residual power maybe from Orson Randall, because he used to channel it that way. And this is Danny not having the Iron Fist. All along, and I know I talked about this after he lost it, and I talked about this in Marvel TV Weekly, I always sort of had this feeling that there's like a, oh, Dorothy, you could have gone home anytime you want to, quality to Danny having the Iron Fist. That even though it was taken from him, that he still would have had at least some degree of it. Maybe it wasn't as much as he had initially, but I felt like he still had the power. He just felt like, well, I got nothing now. And he was going to need to send his chi, figure out who he was, and sort of do all this soul searching to find it. So I think that he has it, but let us know in the chat. Do you think it's the belt, or do you think Danny has it? Emmanuel is not in the minority. It seemed like kind of an even mix of people who weren't really sure what it was. So let us know in the chat if you're watching live what you think, and we'll sort of tie the whole season together. But before we do that, a very important message from Zia.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, goodness, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you, Zia. I wanted to, we have a little bit less than 10 minutes, and what I wanted to talk about just for me is sort of why I thought this season was so great. There are moments when I think about it, and I'm very clearly, it's one of my favorite Marvel seasons. There are moments where I'm putting it like top two, and then I start to think about some of the other ones. I'm like, all right, I don't know. I just know it's one of my favorites. But when it was over, I put it in my mind, in my own ranking. I put it right after Daredevil season two, which I think is the best, largely because of the inclusion of the Punisher. But I thought that one was perfect. This, I thought, was such a great season because there were a lot of surprises. There was a lot of action, a lot of the stuff you wanted. The fight sequences were a lot better. People had a lot of problems with those, I know. I really liked the sort of the big bad being Davos teamed up a little bit with Joy, and it was just sort of a very personal vendetta against him. I always think that's interesting. Personal vendetta is going to be a huge part of season three of Daredevil, and I think that that works really well. But on top of all that, Danny ends up not having the Iron Fist, and this realization that he's like, I don't think I should get it back. I don't think I deserved it in the first place. I don't think I used it right. You know what, Colleen, you're a better person than me. You should get it. It just seemed like one of those things. It's like, all right, they're going to talk it out. He's going to end up getting it. But just that realization of, I don't know if I should have this power. Yeah, I fought for a right to get it because I just thought that's what I was supposed to do. But in a lot of ways, Danny's like a 15-year-old kid. We talk a lot about that. He didn't really know what he needs, what's right for him. And I commend somebody that, look, Spider-Man says great power comes great responsibility. And some people are like, yeah, I am not responsible enough for that responsibility. And it's such like a deep overarching theme that just really impressed me. I was not expecting that. It's to me, it's comparable to a movie that is a different universe entirely. It's a little flawed in a lot of people's minds, but the Zack Snyder Man of Steel movie is just this dark Superman's like, man, I was born with this stuff. I don't know if I want to do all this. Why am I this guy? And I just didn't expect it from Iron Fist of all places. So it's sort of like a little bit more of a philosophical idea than I was exploring. It's definitely offset by the sort of gun-toting, you know, freewheeling Danny at the end. But Emmanuel, what did you think sort of this whole arc? And again, you're not Team Danny, we get it. But it's sort of interesting for any superhero to be like, I don't think I'm super enough to be this hero, you know?
I agree with him. He's finally being honest with himself. So
I'm not against that.
Danny woke up to what the rest of the world
did. Yeah, Danny was like, wait a second, I'm not that good. Here, you have this. And I was like, good move. Like, Ward's being honest, you're being honest, you know.
Do you think Ward would have made a better Iron Fist than Danny?
More interesting. Yes.
He doesn't have good fight training, more though, so, you know.
He'd figure it out.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Because, I mean, you see, another thing about Ward, too, is, well, he used to cry a lot. But this is, he didn't, I mean, he cried a little bit, but he cried enough and then moved on. He's like, okay, I lost this one, so I'm going to keep going. So I like that. There was never really a moment of hesitation of, what should I do? He's just like, no, I'm going to go do this. So, yeah, a more confident Iron Fist.
What did you think, sort of, about Danny's soul searching, Zia?
I get it. Because you see so much of it in season one and even a lot of it in season two. He's obviously very conflicted on the inside. And he's, like he said, he's had one goal for, you know, since he was 15. And now he's starting to realize that he was using it to fill a void. Now, it's better than, you know, drugs or other things.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, he's doing something more constructive with his time. Right. And look, that clearly the Rand Corporation is run by people that are not the Meachums or Danny Rand, because we didn't see any day-to-day business of the Rand Corporation this season. There was a ton of it in the first season. And then this year it was like there were like legal documents that needed to be signed. But we didn't actually go to the offices at any point, because it was just like there's no reason to. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it was Panther 7 actually said in the chat, so if Joy isn't running the company anymore and Ward is off with Danny, who's running the company?
They better, yeah.
Nobody.
Whoever's left on that board, you know, the board that tried to vote out Danny against, mm-hmm. I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I guess clearly they put some people in there. Danny must have been comfortable with the way that it ran. That he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, be moving furniture instead.
I can see it maybe being one of Danny's old students from the first season or something.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, and I would assume in a season three they'd spend more time with it. That's the sort of thing when you end up with 10 episodes instead of 13. Is like, who's really tuning in to find out what's going on with the Rand Corporation?
Very true.
You know, so I think it's sort of an interesting thing. And there's a lot of questions about what's next. And I figure if we get a season three, we'll probably not pick it up at the way this episode ended. We'll sort of fill in some of those, you know, the gap of months later, and we'll see how they get to that point. And at least I hope so, because I really want to see all that stuff. I like the idea of, you know, Ward and Danny, you know, wandering around Asia. And this idea of Colleen as the Iron Fist, the vigilante, you know, Misty makes a comment that, you know, you're the one now at the Iron Fist. You're the only one who might have a chance against Luke Cage. Oof. And he didn't look so good the last time I saw him. Because, well, we saw what the Iron Fist can do to Luke Cage. You know, you can at least slow him down.
And Colleen is pretty quick.
Yeah.
She's very fast.
I don't see it coming.
I don't know. Luke isn't that fast. Let's put it that way.
Luke is a brawler.
And
he doesn't have a lot of technique.
What about some weird team up where, like, because I've talked about this, where, you know, if Luke really just turns into the Skid and he just needs to be taken down, Bushmaster could be a guy that we're cheering for to, like, no, this is a guy who can keep it. So Bushmaster and Colleen working to, like, get Luke to realize, like, you can't replace Black Mariah and Cottonmouth. This isn't who you are. You shouldn't be doing this. Why are you here?
I like Luke.
I love Luke. But, man, the way they set him up at the end, he doesn't even want to talk to Claire because he kind of knows, like, man, this isn't who I should be. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just a theory. And then, you know, we don't officially have a season three of Luke Cage either. But as I've alluded to, I know people who very much have put a lot of work in on season three. So if for some reason Netflix doesn't want it, I would be stunned if we didn't get it somewhere else. There's so many questions about season three of Iron Fist. Obviously, you know, look, he's very few people's favorite. I get it. And I really like the character. I like both seasons. This season I loved. So hopefully we get another season. One of the people who is doing a lot of press to talk about it is the showrunner, and I alluded to him a little bit earlier. His name is M. Raven Metzner. Now, for those of you on Twitter, there's a tweet that I sent out a little bit earlier from at ABTV Marvel. That is the Marvel on AfterBuzz Twitter. And you can kind of see, and I just mentioned that, you know, maybe we'll get one more episode of the Iron Fist After Show if M. Raven Metzner has the time to talk to us. I traded messages with him. He's doing a lot of press. So we'd love for him to be able to make time and talk to us here on the show. If not, that's all right. We still love the show. He still did a great job. He was the showrunner just for the, you know, he came in for season two. He did a fantastic job. So, but we would love to have a chance to talk to him. So if you see that tweet and you have a chance, you just go ahead and retweet it. I have already retweeted it from my Twitter at ChristianDMZ. So if you follow me or you follow at ABTVMarvel, you'll see it there. You can retweet it. And maybe in the morning, Mr. Metzner will wake up and be like, well, why did all these people read? What is this? What am I supposed to do? And then maybe we'll get to talk to him here on the show. But if not, that's all right. I had so much fun talking about Iron Fist. And I hope that we're all back for season three. But even if we're not, Z and I are on Marvel TV Weekly, actually just a few minutes from right now. but Sundays at 10, at least for now, on AfterBuzz. And the Daredevil season three is actually going to premiere on October 19th. So I don't know who'll be on the panel. Some of us, none of us. That's all right. There will be a show for it. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But until then, you can, as I said, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land.
And Emmanuel, where do people find you?
Find me everywhere at Emmanuel C. Wright.
All right. Well, thanks so much to everybody. We really appreciate all of you following us and watching the season and talking to us throughout. We will see you soon on one of our many other shows here in AfterBuzz. Until then, have a great one.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.